B-Pod Studios.
It's, I mean, it's going to be different for sure. You can, if you've played 82 regular season games, and you obviously prepare that way. But I think the situation is what it is. We're going to have to just do the best we possibly can. And our team is just full of professionals. So I trust everyone has done whatever they could to prepare, whether it's been skating or going to the gym or just, you know, doing workouts outdoors.
That is one of your left wings from your Boston Bruins, Mr. Nordstrom, talking about the season. What have I been saying, Joe Murray, for as long as you've been doing the show, which has been quite a bit lately? What have I been saying?
You said that the NHL will be all systems go, baby.
I said that the NHL, out of all the sports, I have the most confidence. And I was met with ridicule. I was met with spite. I was told that there are no dates, and I said the entire time, I said, the NHL knows what it wants to do. The NHL is bargaining for a place to have games. Well, they are not going to Las Vegas, as Joe said in his headlines. Apparently, the players were a little weirded out by what was going on with COVID, which I still would take my chances in Vegas other than going to Edmonton, but all these guys are Canadian, so they don't care. That's why, when you say what's the place you would least like to play, they always say Buffalo. And I'm like, what about Winnipeg? And they say at least it's Canada. Mm-hmm. So they're up there. And I don't know how Edmonton's going to house them all. I don't know what the situation is up there. Is that Ice Road Truckers area? Because I know Winnipeg is. That's where they drive the semis over the ice. So that is a place that I have not gone, nor do I believe I will be there. But they are scheduled now. All systems go. Mandatory training camps are scheduled to begin on July 10th. But they may be moved, delayed. Do not panic, though, because that will be July 13th. And the NHL will then resume with a 24-team tournament, and there will be a Stanley Cup winner. And did you guys hear one hockey player complain?
Not yet. No,
I haven't heard any complaints from any of them, no.
And that's what made me so confident that they were going to play. And I obviously, basketball is going to play. But it was just, you weren't hearing anything. And instead of looking at it as being bad, I was looking at them being very good. If you're not hearing anything, it means that things are going smoothly behind the scenes. If I start hearing stuff from the NHL, that's when I start worrying. But, I mean, they have guys that have tested positive for COVID.
29 to be since June 8th, 29 have tested positive.
Yeah, and so they, you know what that means though is they can't get it again.
Yeah, and then one Bruins player tested, but with all the HIPAA laws and everything, they can't announce who they are.
But that was a long time ago, right?
Yeah, that was a Bruins player before camp. Yep.
Yeah, there was. So that is good news. What's going to be weird though is that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there is going to just be all this crap going on at a time that usually the vacation is being taken by me. But now I will be on vacation while everything is going on. So instead, I sit here on July 2nd looking for any kind of sports, and it is not existing until there is a crush.
Well, normally this time of year, we'd be doing free agency.
Yeah.
Right. We'd be looking at Torrey Krug and wondering about his future. And, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, who's going to play or when are they going to play and what's going to happen. But like I like you, Fred, I think that hockey's going to happen at this point. And I'm starting to look now at the Bruins. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll just ask you guys, like, do you think this is a win-win for Tuca? Because I think it's kind of a lose-lose for him. Like, let's say the Bruins go on to win the Stanley Cup, right? There's going to be an asterisk with, okay, Tuca won the cup in a, you know, a shortened season and some sort of, you know, team playoff or whatever. Like, do you think that people will look at him like that? Because, like, you know, that's how I feel. And if he loses, it's kind of like, oh, well, they just burned another season in their prime, you know, after losing a Stanley Cup last year. So, like, I don't know. I just feel like they're going to continue this season, but if they do win the cup, like, do you think there'll be an asterisk next to it?
Well, no, because if they win the cup, all, this will all be forgotten. And then when you look back at Tuukka Rask's career, you'll see the success. And you won't look at the lost Stanley Cups. You'll look at the fact that they were in the finals. By the way, this man plays golf. Boy, does he play golf. He's out there on the links taking care of business. That's just a little brag, even though I've never, I've only seen him there once. But, yeah, I don't know if there's an asterisk. There's a tournament. I mean, there's still a playoff. It's probably more difficult at this stage than it would be normally in a season. I think for goaltenders, maybe. I think for other players, it's for all the other guys, I think that it's probably a little bit easier because your body is healed. But I think that you could get off your game very easily and get cold if you're a goaltender.
I don't think asterisk is the right word for this season, whether you're talking about the NHL or any of the, you know, the NBA or MLB, anybody who's going to have this weird shortened season. Because asterisk is more like for, all right, it was a lockout year. You ended up playing 50 games instead of 82, something like that. This is going to be remembered as hopefully a singular event. You know, you go back and look at one of those lockout years, and you think to yourself, like, what the hell was going on there? Well, you know, why was the goal total so weird? Or, you know, why were the penalty minutes so low? Oh, that's right. And you kind of remember after the fact. 2020 is going to be remembered in a category all to itself. And who knows how it's going to be thought of at the end, but it's my thinking that whoever ends up winning it is going to be thought of in a different way. And there are going to be detractors because of the, you know, the stop and the restart and all that. But a bigger part of me thinks that that team is going to be lauded for having to overcome something that no other team or no one has ever had to do before, which is stop whatever you were doing, ramp it back up, and then go through the gauntlet of whatever teams are in there and make your way through the playoffs. And it's everyone starting from zero. You've presumably got better health now than you did back in March, and better health now than you would have had the playoffs started as they were scheduled to. And whoever ends up winning it, it's not going to be an asterisk. It's not going to be a yeah, but, as much as it is, wow, that was quite an accomplishment. Different from anything else, not the same as winning the Stanley Cup in any other year, but not necessarily any less of an accomplishment. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you played quite a bit of the season, and you had the best record in the NHL, so they can't take that away from you. And that's right, you play a tournament, and it's the same amount of pressure as there would be normally. There's the same amount of pressure on Rask, if not more. I mean, they have the best record in hockey. If they go in there and he craps himself, I mean, that's it. I mean, if he goes in there and craps himself, that's it. That's all. I mean, that's the legacy.
It's going to be tough for him to live that one down. I mean, you can talk all you want about Game 7 last year. You can talk about what happened in 2013. But if other goaltenders are able to come back after this and somehow be in rhythm, and your guy, whether it's Tuukka Rask or your guy on your team, whoever it is, somehow isn't able to do that, then because you know some other goalies are. Goaltending is not going to be bad across all the teams. If anybody falters and looks like they're just completely out of sorts, and especially if it's Tuukka Rask, I agree with you, Fred. That one, that's going to be tough for him to live down.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be able to do it. I mean, it's going to be, he's just always going to be remembered as the guy that was on these great teams and he couldn't win. And especially since the guy that won before him almost won it single-handedly. Robbie on line two. Go ahead, Robbie.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan. So I got to disagree with the whole notion that if the Bruins end up winning the Cup this year, that's going to like wipe out all of Tuukka's past performances. Because when I watch Tuukka Rask, it's the same thing year in and year out. Once he hits 50 games played, he stops. So now to say that, oh, well, now he's had a three-month break in between playing games, that now if he goes into the Cup Finals and decides that he's actually going to be able to keep it focused and actually win a Cup, I mean, there's no justification to that thought for me. The guy has not proven he can play an extended season play past 60 games, guys like Holtby and Price and all those other guys do, and be able to go into the playoffs and lock it down.
If you win a cup, all that's forgiven. I mean, if you win a cup, they forgive it all. But what will be interesting is if they happen to not win the Stanley Cup, that you'll get to hear all the writers again tell you how stupid you are for not believing in Tuukka Rask.
Right. No. Yeah. There'll be a fair amount of that. I think if he wins it, it's there's still going to be people who say, I told you so about 2013. I told you so about 2019. But after having put together the best record and they come back and everyone's playing under the same rules and the same format and they win it, what else do you want from the guy? You know, he had a couple of chances and they fell short. It wasn't just on him last year. I know people feel differently about 13 and what happened in the final game against the Blackhawks, but you know, you get a couple of chances. It doesn't go your way. If it ends up going the Bruins' way, and especially Tuukka, and if he plays well in this one, what more do you want from the guy?
No, if you win a cup, a lot is forgiven. All right, we'll be right back.
Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. I am in my second quarantine due to my family coming back from Tennessee. Tennessee, a massive hotspot. There is a lot of restrictions. I will tell you that. A lot of restrictions that are going on right now.
Not everybody paying attention to those, Fred.
Where's your guy?
There's not everybody is as concerned with the restrictions, and some people are taking it upon themselves to go ahead and just do what they feel needs to be done. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Are you talking about a guy you do a show with?
No. I'm talking about somebody who had a concert scheduled, and he said, I'm going to go ahead and do that concert anyway.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, the Iceman.
That's right.
Yeah, he said that he was going to have the concert in Texas. But can you blame him? Like, can you blame him for doing that? Like, I mean, if they're offering you money and you realize that you're the only game in town and that you actually might sell this thing out, if you're Vanilla Ice, you got to do it.
Number one, Vanilla Ice is using this as a means to pull at the heartstrings of nostalgia, because he's saying like everything in the 90s was better.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just about this one concert, which, by the way, apparently they've got a loophole at this place in Texas where they're having the concert, because it is not just a bar, it's a restaurant. So maybe it's like Gilly's, you know? It's not just a bar. You know, they've got a lot of stuff going on there. Could be a mechanical bull ride and maybe get some food. But it is technically a restaurant that has a capacity of 2,500 people.
My goodness.
So
there's a long of Longhorn Steakhouses.
He said it's just so they can get around the whatever the protocols or mandates are in place, because it doesn't fall into the category of a quote-unquote concert venue, so they can go ahead and they can have this show. And he said the 90s were the best. We didn't have coronavirus or cell phones or computers. We had
Wait. There were no computers?
No.
I thought the computer was invented many decades before that.
Well, I don't know about you, but I definitely had a cell phone in the 90s, and
yes,
computers were around.
Yes.
He said we had 5.0s, Blockbuster, Beavis and Butthead.
Okay. Well, you had me a Blockbuster. I mean, who doesn't miss going into a Blockbuster and touching tapes that had been in the hands of God knows who?
It was the best.
It's funny that he says that we had dog grooming. You know, we had guys who put up fences. So, but if you're him, do you blame him for doing it? I mean, if he's going to get a paycheck and you know he's going to sell the thing out, and he normally wouldn't, do you blame the guy? Can you blame the guy? Because if I'm him, I'm doing it. I'm throwing caution to the wind. And I'm saying that if you come to my concert, which I know you will, I mean, you're an adult. It's probably 21 and up. Because I can't see many, like, you know, 14-year-olds that are into Vanilla Ice unless they've just seen Cool as Ice. And they've seen the scene where he chases the girl around the construction site for 20 minutes. So if I'm Vanilla Ice, you could, in good conscience, you could do that, couldn't you, if you're him?
I mean, it all depends. If they end up having an outbreak as a result of this concert, is it going to damage his reputation in any way? Are people going to think less of Vanilla Ice afterward than they already do?
Do you know he was a professional jet ski rider for a while?
I knew he was motocross. I knew that.
No, jet skis as well. And I will tell you, the jet ski circuit can be a critical bunch. I mean, you don't want to piss off the people in the jet ski circuit. So, no, he's not going to damn his reputation anyway.
But here's Fred, do you believe, like, the celebrity net worth sites? Do you believe any of those things?
No.
Okay.
They're way below what I actually make.
All right. Well, no, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about for Vanilla Ice. Because depending on which one you want to believe, his net worth is still anywhere between $10 and $18 million.
There's no way. He gave up all his publishing to Suge Knight. He hasn't had any. When has he made money in the last 30 years?
Well, what were the purses like in those professional jet ski competitions?
Oh, what about the Ninja Turtles movies? Did he make any money off that?
Well, exactly. I'm sure he made a fair amount, but I mean, the jet ski tournaments. What do you get if you win the Players Championship?
I would say you're talking about for golf, probably $1.8 million, something like
so
that.
So probably like $3.6 million if you win one of those jet ski tournaments.
To me, professional jet skiing is right up there with professional drifters. Remember how there were professional drifters? Like Hulk Hogan's kid was a professional drifter.
Yeah, and he just stood there and he would pop the best thing about him is that he would go to like a Sonic and he would just pop his hood and just stand there like, come on, ladies, who's first? Like that's a hell of an engine in there. But yes, professional jet skiing, I don't know at what point, because I have a jet ski. Like a badass at my parents' place.
Hell yeah.
And I don't know really at what point that becomes, I guess you have to take sweet turns at a high speed. I'm guessing that's the danger. Because if you're going 40 on a jet ski, the wind in your hair, I mean, it's touching the sun. I mean, it's like if you want to get high on speed, you hop on the jet ski. You know what? I will not use the regular key in the jet ski. I still use the training key, and I've had it for like 5 years.
What's the difference?
You max out at like 42 miles an hour with the training key.
Oh,
and I don't know what you max out with with the regular key, but it's faster than I want to go.
I'm looking at the 2020 USA Championships for Aquacross.
Yeah. It
sounds like something he may have been involved with. The prize money is decent. For like the pro enduro prize purse paid out at the end of each round based on the number of entries. So,
so it's like a raffle.
So, if, for instance, first place, if there were six entries, first place would have earned you $800.
Oosh.
But if there are as many as 12 entries, first place ends up with $1,400. So maybe you want to rethink what Vanilla Ice's net worth is. Maybe he is worth that $18 million after all.
Where does it say $18 million, and how would they justify that? How would you possibly justify that that's how much money he has?
MoneyInc.com.
Oh.
Which is a very, very well-respected website. He had a massive hit with Ice Baby.
Which he doesn't own the publishing to, nor did he. I mean, how much does he have to pay Queen and David Bowie for taking that entire loop?
Well, he changed it, though.
Oh, the way he was trying to say that he changed it, yeah.
Yeah, because it goes dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, but there's one dun-dun-dun-da-da-dun-dun.
Yep.
So it's different.
Okay.
He wasn't the wrong Missy. I just watched that movie recently.
Now, what's that?
It's the David Spade movie that just came out on Netflix.
Oh, I actually liked that movie.
I did, too. But yeah, remember at the end, you're like, oh, come meet me at the bar, and it was Vanilla Ice?
Yeah, so, well, that's a Sandler thing. Mm. It's like everything Sandler makes, Vanilla Ice has to be in it. And so does Dan Patrick, who I can't stand.
Vanilla Ice has a beach house in Miami estimated to be worth around $15 million. He's had a successful career in the property market that many people are not aware of. Rest of the money comes from his career in the entertainment industry, which has spanned almost 30 years.
He had a show where he fixed properties.
Yeah.
But you think, okay, where did he get his initial nut from? How did he start buying all these houses?
Probably from touring. I mean, he probably made some money, even if he didn't get it off the song. He had to have made some money from touring.
And you think he kept that money? You think he put it in like a diversified portfolio? I mean, do you see him putting on like bifocals and sitting down with a money manager? This is a guy that was held over a balcony by Suge Knight by his feet. I mean, he gave up his publishing.
It turns out he put his place on the market in Miami for $4.8 million, not $15. Okay, so they're a little off. Something a little different.
I don't know. Does he have a rich mom or something? Because I don't. $4.8 million ain't hey. I got to tell you that. And by the way, Dan Patrick has a sign in back of him on the radio show that says popsicles. It's just a guy, Dan. It's just a place for fellas to hang out. There's a golf simulator. There's a hoop, and then you know there's all the sexy cover girls for the swimsuit issues. And then there's a sign that just says popsicles.
Is popsicles code for something else?
No, I think it's just like let's chill out and have some popsicles. Like you know, the time is right. The time is now. Like maybe you're a little exhausted for playing 2-on-2 hoops.
Right.
And you know, you've been looking at all that fine tail on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issues.
Easy.
And then you're saying to yourself, "Woo, what to do now?" Like, let's go off with some popsicles. Let's get the gang together and just chill out with some popsicles.
Right, right. Shoot the breeze, have some popsicle, or maybe chew on some Gator gum. It's your choice, guys. I got both.
All right, who wants to shoot the breeze?
No.
617-779-0985.
We have too many Vanilla Ice calls you should get to. People are going to mansplain to you how Vanilla Ice has all that money.
All right.
Okay. Shooting the breeze. Shooting the breeze.
Right. John,
the breeze.
Go ahead. John, go ahead. Line one.
Hey, what's up, Freddie?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man, he made all that money from selling the chicken nuggets at the roller skating rink, man. Don't you remember? That's how he's got all that money on him.
That's right. Maybe he owned the roller skating rink and was rolling in it. Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, he got all his money from real estate. He also has a TV show where he rebuilds houses.
Yeah, but they don't pay. I found out about how they do those like those shows with the the DIY network or whatever, and those guys don't get paid any money. Ooh. You got to be like those
I don't know,
twins.
Like Chip and Joanna Gaines, I think, make a ton of money.
Yes, but they're superstars. It starts out, you know, when you're on one of those shows, you don't like when you're the guy who's buying the house that you don't get like a break on anything. Huh. Like if you're the person that like agreed to it, I guess there's no incentive. Like, you know, the guy who's fascinating to look at that does the lottery winners' houses. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if you win the lottery, he goes.
Oh yeah.
Like he's the most interesting looking person in the world. Like I could stare at him for like an hour and just trying to figure out what's going on. Well, apparently you've chosen your house already. I don't mean to ruin the illusion, but you've chosen your house already. So he just shows you that one.
You talking about David Bromstad?
You better believe I'm talking about David Bromstad.
Yeah.
Who's look at him throughout his evolution throughout the years. It is something else. But, apparently you get nothing. Apparently you just agree to be on TV. So
yeah, I would believe that for because of all the ones that start off and you don't know who those people are, why would they pay them great deals of money to do those shows.
Yeah, apparently, like, it's nothing. They've already picked your house.
Vanilla Ice is, you know, for better or worse, Fred, an established star. So he probably got more than what just some yahoo would get for doing a property show like that.
Like, I think he's been on, like, Celebrity Rehab. He's been in, like, the Celebrity House where Ron Jeremy was. I mean, when you've shared a house with Peter Brady and Ron Jeremy, things are not going. You're not a multimillionaire. I'll tell you that. Tyler, go ahead. Tyler on line two.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, what's up?
You remember when he changed Ice Ice Baby into like a rock and roll song?
Do I ever? Him and MC Hammer did the same thing. Yep.
Yeah. Well, it was like in 2003. Yeah. And I was at I was at University of Hartford, and we had this thing called Spring Fling, you know, most colleges do. And he performed there, and people were just throwing beer cans at him. And he jumped into the stands and just started swinging. I was like, wow, he's really falling off.
Now, Hardy, you went to Michigan State. Were you at Michigan State before Kid Rock rapped? And
yes.
Okay, so did he ever play there? Did you ever see him play there?
No.
Because apparently he would just get pelted. Like, Kid Rock, before he was a rapper or a, like, country American guy, was just some, like, dude with an acoustic guitar. And or he had a couple, like, Yodeling in the Valley, like, really stupid rap songs.
Yeah, Grit Sandwiches for Breakfast. I believe that was one of his EPs.
Yes, indeed. But this might have even been pre that. But I wish you would have seen him, because apparently he would just get pelted.
See,
pelted with crap.
I probably was there because I was in East Lansing for like 2 years after graduating. That's always a good sign of success when you stay in your college town.
Well, that, like, radio station said I'd never make it in radio.
Well, I have one in Lansing tell me the same thing. New Country 102 WILS. So he was around at that time, but the first, like, big song that he had, it was I Am the Bull God, and I think that's while I was still there. So he must have been playing around, but I didn't see him play until I had moved to Las Vegas, and that was like 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah, that's when he did the Ball with the Ball.
Right.
Whatever
right.
The hell the name of the song is. All right, so we can just shoot the breeze. We can end the weekend. We're going into the long weekend shooting the breeze. What do you think, Artie?
Okay.
I like
Joe.
It. I like
Joe.
It.
All right, so we're just going to sit down and we're going to shoot the breeze. I don't care. Why not? You know, let's raise the flag. Let's, you know, maybe cut up some fireworks and put them in a tennis ball with some sandpaper and throw that and just have some fun. The Anarchist Cookbook. All right, so we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right, I have it right here. Here we go. The Stack is brought to you by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. For more info, go to windownation.com. Hardy, Joe, you know what time it is.
What about the Stack?
This is Stack.
This is the Stack.
It's stacked with humanity.
No, we should stack it up, I thought.
No. This is a stack of phone calls just saying, it's a beautiful day. Lady Liberty is going to be rising on Saturday like no one's business. A lot of people have tomorrow off. This is just a time to kick back and shoot the breeze.
I mean, just to clarify, this was a bit that you were tasked with coming up with. Like, you were given the assignment of coming up with a recurring segment for the show, and this is what you created.
No, I was not tasked with anything. I was just sitting around one day, and I said, you know what? There's all this negativity. There's all this talk about this and that, and he's got this and she's got that. And I just said, whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, the evening TV. You know, you miss your friends. They're all waiting around the bend.
Everywhere you look.
Yeah, there's a hand to hold on to, you know? You get that? Listen, I'm not you like some sports radio hot take shock jock,
right?
Like on the midday show,
right? Right. it's a different attitude here. It's a different pace.
I mean, you know, I mean, I'm all over the place. I'm getting furious when I hear you guys. I have a good mind to call in, but I just anonymously tweet you
and take us in hand.
Uh-huh. Rob, on line 7, we're shooting the breeze. Go ahead.
What's going on, Freddie T? How are you this morning?
What's up, Rob?
Hey, I had a quick question. I just wanted to say that I just got a nice gift from my kid's parents. I coached her hockey team all winter, and I think it's a crime that time you coached your kid's basketball team. You got no gift. I got a $100 gift card to a store,
oh,
and then I got a personalized mug.
Oh, my God.
You know,
God.
I can't believe you got – what's going on in Newen over there?
I have coached 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, so 16, 17, 18. I've coached 18 seasons of sports, and I've gotten a gift 3 times.
Oof.
Three or four times I've gotten a gift. Well, my daughter's basketball season doesn't count because it ended abruptly. And I got emails saying, like, good job.
Yeah.
But
yeah, go try and spend that at Dick's Sporting Goods. Right.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even think I've ever used a gift card because I'm like, keep it.
Wow.
I mean, just for showing up. I mean, there could be a nice – I mean, when my dad was coach, he still has the balls. He has the balls that all the kids signed.
When you say keep it, does that mean the person who collected all the money and then went and purchased it and then went to hand it to you, they get to keep it?
Yeah, I'll go, how much is on this? And they'll pay $25, and I'll just flip it in the air and go, thanks for nothing. What's that, 2 martinis? Come on. Daddy wants to get lit. Mitch, go ahead, sir. Mitch, you're on line 3.
Good morning, Fred. Thank you for having me. I just want to talk quickly. I grew up on the greats of the sitcom, Step by Step, Family Matters, and I got to see the value of a family home. And through Nick at Night, I got to see even the older ones. But unfortunately, in my formative years of relationship, I turned to King and Queens, and I thought that's how relationships were supposed to go. And the abuse that Doug took, I thought was normal. But I got to tell you, eventually, my back got a little too weary. And my eyes got a little too weary. My back got a little too tight.
A little too tight.
I realized this is not how it works.
You were on the Zakim Bridge tonight. Ah, if I could.
How about that? Anybody run into that? You think this is what it is? I mean,
well, there was
I grew up
the episode
in a broken home, but shed no tears for me.
Yeah, there was the episode where they were being taped. They were taping each other, and it was being transcribed from a relationship expert, and they gave each other jabs that. That my marriage could not take, I could tell you that. And you know what was just on downstairs, Step by Step? They were in Hawaii.
Oh, was it a very special episode?
Every episode of that stupid show was a very special episode. All it was people denying sex. It's very frustrating.
I can't believe it in otherwise good TV shows. And here's one in particular. It started off good. But it fell apart like everything does. Modern Family. Now, when that first started, that was a good show.
Megan Gaines was the showrunner. Yep. I know exactly what it was. And then she left and it fell apart. Yep.
Well, then they end up going to Europe for the Modern Family goes on vacation. I had stopped watching it, but it's on in the background. And I'm looking at them like, are they like literally in Paris or somewhere? Like you could tell this was not a soundstage. They took the cast to Europe. Yeah. To do an episode there, I'm like, oh, does that blow?
Well, I'm telling you is that, well, there was the TGI Friday, or TGI Fridays, TGIF, the ABC shows, where they did the deal with Disney, and all 4 of them were smack, dang, bang in the middle of the Magic Kingdom. But I think at a certain point in your TV show, you just go, like, let's take the guys to Europe. I think they went to Hawaii,
because that's how you get away with not paying them more and more when they would probably be demanding or even deserving of more money. You say, how about instead of giving you that extra 1% across the board, we treat you and your families to a European vacation, and while we're there, we got to shoot for like 3 days. What do you say?
How about Sofia Varga being the highest paid actress or actor on that show? And I would point to Ed O'Neill being more important. I would say that couple with the kids were more important. I think you could lose Sofia Varga from that show and not miss a beat.
What was boyfriend's name that ended up, they ended up having the baby, and I think they got married to Hallie's boyfriend.
Did Joe Blow for all I care.
Yeah. He wasn't the highest paid guy, Dylan?
No, he seemed to come and go. They didn't, Dylan was not the great. You know who is a really good actor is Manny.
Yes. Well, all child actors, once they hit puberty, are easy to watch and don't lose any of their charm. I think you can say that across the board. It happened on Leave It to Beaver. Those are my favorite episodes, and now I haven't watched one in probably 30
Larry
years.
Larry Mondello, you're saying, lost his chops?
No, but after Jerry Mathers, his voice changed, there was, he still had that impish quality, and you could believe every bit of mischief that he got into once he was obviously shaving. The show lost nothing, and I think you can say that across the board about kids on TV. Every single time.
Then came Tony Dow, just swinging like a Tarzan and picking the show up.
Yeah, he did.
In Modern Family, when it was the two kids, Manny and the other kid, doing a scene together, it looked like a middle school production of like Fiddler on the Roof. Oh, they couldn't act.
No, it was painful.
By the way,
I tapped out long before that, though.
Yeah, really so did I. I don't watch it. Joe, go ahead. But if it goes into syndication, like it is, but if it's on like after. If it's on at 4 o'clock, I'll watch it. Joe, go ahead. You're on line 7. Is he off? Joseph. Joe.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to ask you what you thought about that episode of Saved by the Bell when Belding's wife was pregnant and they were in the elevator with Tori and Zach. And I just want to know if you think that's, like, practical or not, that two teenagers could deliver a baby in an elevator.
It was during an earthquake, right? It was an earthquake?
If I'm a principal, I just go, hey, guys, take a look at my wife's vagina. Hello. Because that seems like a good thing. And but why shouldn't you two, as high schoolers, witness the beauty of birth? It's not troubling at all. Oh, here's the placenta. Enjoy that for the rest of your life, kids. It's a good, safe sex.
Oh no! Strategy. Oh, it's a, what a what a shame the show's over.
Oh, we have full phone lines.
Yeah. Shooting the breeze.
Enjoy your vacation, Fred.
Thanks, Joe. Are you working tomorrow, Joe?
I'll be here 6 to 10 tomorrow.
All right. Well, I'll tell you guys what. I mean, go in, go out today, enjoy the sun and fun, but don't forget, we're all here for Lady Liberty. So while you're having that hot dog on the grill.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.